Previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
A main pipe break is as bad as it sounds.
Poor cleaning lady was just in here. She has to mop after her shift. I mean, she has to finish the job.
Poor thing.
Right, I know.
Wait, she has to mop? She didn't have to mop the entire building.
Well, just where it's...
Is that Magda?
Yeah.
It's our friend Magda? She doesn't have to mop the entire building?
She's
awesome.
Not happy.
I'm sorry, Magda.
It's going to be a long day for her.
Tell Magda we'll take care of that problem.
Yeah. Pull some strings. Aren't there a bunch of other people that...
Larry Wirt, get a mop. It's your building.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Five 11. Good Wednesday morning to you. Yeah, Magda has quit, by the way. What an experience yesterday, Mary.
Oh,
holy
man.
Cow.
Man, when that thing just popped in my ear and everything went dead.
Yeah, we were off the air. Dave Ennett's back in studio. Dave, you missed all of the excitement.
I know. I always miss the fun.
Ooh, you missed the craziness. You should have seen.
Dave, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You really.
You missed. You literally, you know, we're actually putting together a little video, Dave, of what happened when we were off the air. Kind of for you.
What do you mean, like what we did?
Yeah, like what we were doing. When we were off the air, because you know what? A lot of people don't realize at home, a lot was going on. A lot happened in that 20-minute span that we were off the air yesterday.
Yeah, we were all running in the hallway. Ben!
Magda! Magda! poor thing. Our cleaning woman is wonderful.
Yeah, and the engineer, it's like, Ben's like, I know.
I know, no kidding. Well, all right, for those of you who perhaps did not see from all the viral pictures yesterday what happened, it was about 6 o'clock. It was a little after 6, right, Mary?
6:40, wasn't it?
6:40, and after the 6:30 news,
we were doing our picks.
Yeah, we were starting to do the football.
Oh, the result picks, Dave. Pick 5.
Right. So we, by the way, we're tied in.
We all did terrible, by the way.
Yeah. So Kevin's in first, though. He did well.
We don't care.
So we tried to do the football picks, and all of a sudden, just everything went dead. No monitors, no audio, no video,
no phones,
nothing. Everything just went silent.
But the lights were on.
Yeah, the lights were the only thing that stayed on. But what happened was there was a water main burst on the 8th floor and it trickled down. And when we were trying to figure out what was going on, I ran into the lobby and there was about an inch of water, literally the whole tower lobby. If you looked at it now, you'd think, oh, yeah, right, an inch of water.
Right.
And water was gushing down. There's a staircase right across from the elevators in the building. So the engineers and the security officers were saying, don't take the elevator. Don't take the elevator.
Yeah, so you guys couldn't get up and I couldn't get down.
Right. So we were talking, you know, the old-fashioned way. We were talking on cell phones.
We had to call each other on a phone.
We had to call each other to talk to each other instead of through the intercoms. And it was a crazy, crazy morning. But, yeah, we missed you, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds like we'll have to schedule another one of those for
some
time in the future.
I suggested we all go to breakfast, but nobody really wanted to go do that because we had just had
We didn't know when we were going to be back up.
We had nothing but time at that point. But again, huge thanks to our engineering staff, our cleaning staff. They really had us back on. It was 20 minutes before we...
Yeah, about 5 after 7.
Yeah, it was 20 minutes before we got back on the air, but we did it. So.
Actually, the studio looks as well... It looks as good as it's looked in a while. So I hope it doesn't take something like that.
It's because it got a cleaning.
Well, it's also got the holiday decorations are up.
It got sprayed with all the water. Yeah, and thankfully, because everybody was asking that too, did it come into the Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue? It did not. And all of our holiday decorations are up, and nothing
got damaged. It looks like
Whoville
in here.
It does look a little bit like Whoville.
Very Whoville-ish.
Yeah, there's some very funky candy canes
candy
going
Candy canes
on
that are all twisted up.
On top of the Christmas tree, yeah. So, but we're going to hopefully put together a little video for you later today. You'll be able to see it at WGNradio.com to see what actually happened while we were off the air.
Reenactment.
Cool. You know what's funny, though? It seemed we were off the air for 20 minutes. It didn't seem that long.
No, it didn't. I mean, usually when you're off the air for 5 seconds, it seems like an eternity with dead air.
Yeah.
You know? And this was just...
Oh, so you heard the 5 o'clock sports.
Oops.
Which 5 o'clock sports would that be? you're back in studio, though, now. Congratulations. Huge victory, Northwestern over Notre Dame on Saturday. What an awesome, awesome great game. And
It was a wacky game. It was a crazy game, and it was fun.
I didn't think you guys were going to pull through, but you did?
I did.
Orion did. Oh, yeah. Orion, by the way, is wearing purple again in your honor. Yeah. He thought you were going to be here Monday. So he wore purple for you.
Thanks, Big O.
Now he's wearing purple again. So we got a big show for you today. After 5:30, some startling new statistics from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We're going to be talking with the executive director of the Chicago chapter of MAD and a mother who lost her daughter to a drunk driver. So kind of a moving 5:30 news hour that we're going to have, news half hour, I should say. Anyway, also Oxford named its word of the year. We'll tell you what that is as well coming up shortly. But first, Mary, what is going on with the road? WGN. Stories that we are following today. My goodness, have you guys seen this winter storm? I know you're following this, oh, this winter storm in Buffalo that's dumped. They said first 3 feet, now they're saying 5 feet of snow in the Buffalo area. Ugh. So, and they're not done yet. Snow totals by this afternoon could top 6 feet of snow in the hardest hit areas south of Buffalo. They have another lake effect storm expected Thursday. Now, in the Chicago area, we have some weather moving in as well. Not as bad as that, of course. Light snow set to develop across northern Illinois and parts of northwest Indiana sometime this morning. That means that the late morning and definitely the early afternoon commutes will be affected by that. Blaise Supich was installed yesterday, a moving and beautiful ceremony at Holy Name Cathedral. 2 weeks after the election, Democrat Mike Frerichs is poised to become Illinois' new state treasurer over Tom Cross in one of the closest general election contests in decades, they say. A mere, I think, less than 300 votes separated the two. The air show is going to come back to Gary, Indiana, so that's wonderful. It's nice as well. Kind of a sad story. Mary, you were talking about this too. 7 people are critical in a car accident. 5 of those are children. And where was this again?
I believe it's Marquette.
Marquette, yes. In Jackson Park.
Jackson Park. Yeah, that happened about midnight last night, yeah. I believe. Very sad story. With 6 kids in the car, all under the age of 12.
Yeah, how horrible
is
that?
Yeah, and they're all some in critical condition. They're all transported.
Yeah, we're going to be following that.
Sad.
Very, very sad. We're going to be following their conditions.
Car went into a tree.
Yeah, very, very sad story. Some national and international news as well today that Republicans and Democrats say the Obama administration is not placing a priority on congressional authorization of the U.S. war against ISIS. Now, lawmakers say the White House has yet to outline what they want from Congress or to send top officials to testify on Capitol Hill. Senators will get a chance to ask questions of a foreign policy advisor today. When Tony Blinken, the president's choice to become the State Department's number 2 official, will testify at a hearing. So that's what is going on today. We're continuing to follow that and many other stories. Orion Samuelson, welcome back to the Showcase Studio. You were here yesterday. You had to leave a little early because you had a big meeting to go to.
The monthly meeting of the Illinois Racing Board.
The Pony Panel.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
Hey! 540, 720 WGN as we wait for our guests from Mothers Against Drunk Driving to join us. Did you guys hear that Oxford has named its 2014 Word of the Year? Did you guys hear this?
Haven't heard the word.
Okay. Can't be any worse than YOLO.
Remember, YOLO was last year, right?
YOLO was big
right?
last year. It was the year
and,
before.
And selfie, I think that was a big one last year.
Oh, yeah, that was
a good one. Hipster.
Hashtag is a couple years old now.
All right, so Oxford named its 2014 Word of the Year. It is vape. Vape. Do you guys know what that means? Vape?
Vape.
Not like the foggiest idea.
Vapor, like vaporize?
Yeah. Can you believe that? It's the verb to inhale and exhale the vapor produced by an electronic cigarette, you know, the e-cigs, or a similar device. We see people.
I'll ask the two guys who show up outside our window
every
morning.
Every day.
Blowing clouds of whatever.
Yeah, although I like that better because they used to stand outside and smoke cigarettes, or on the loading dock, it would be like a wind tunnel that you'd have to go through of cigarette smoke. And now
we should ask them if they know what vape is.
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Nail them this morning.
Flavored.
Just ask them.
Exactly right. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about the words of the year. Vape was number 1. You guys are going to be surprised at some of these others as well. I didn't know some of these, and I'm assuming you guys probably won't anyway. But we'll do that after.
You
after.
Assume that?
Well,
that
all right.
We won't know.
All right, I'll give you one more. You ready? This is just for you.
Uh oh.
Bay. B-A-E.
B-A-E.
Yeah, not
B-A-Y. Baby.
You know what that is, right, Kevin?
Yeah,
Kevin
like people say my bae.
My bae.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's my bae. Mm-hmm. Like Karen's your bae.
Come get it, bae.
Right.
That's the Pharrell song.
Why isn't it B-A-Y?
Come get it, bae. Hey. Hey.
Should be B-A-Y.
No, it's B-A-E. It's used as a term of endearment for one's romantic partner.
Oh,
Karen's your bae.
I guess I'll have to call Gloria bae.
All right, we'll get into a few of these a little bit more after we talk some serious news here. Sam Canzanieri has been nice enough to join us this morning. She is MADS Chicago State Executive Director. How you doing, Sam?
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Sam. All right.
It's okay.
First of all, thank you very much for joining us. I know we have some startling statistics that were just released this week about drinking and driving. Why don't you give us a couple of those?
Well, there were some pilot states chosen with respect to the study, and Illinois being one of them. And the study really kind of wanted to dive into what motivated a designated driver with respect to wanting to get their passengers from point A to point B safely. And a lot of folks might think the fear factor associated with the enforcement component and getting a DUI. Many of your listeners know that the average DUI in the state costs in excess of $10,000. But that really wasn't the primary motivation. The motivation was getting their party from point A to point B safely. And it was surprising to a degree, but also not so much, because we've been working really hard to try to raise awareness within the community, try to get motorists to connect the dots with what happens with regard to the consequences associated with drinking and driving. And, we feel we're making a little bit of headway. A lot of work still needs to be done, but we feel like folks are starting to understand that the consequences can be far greater than just a DUI.
Absolutely. And more people now, you go out in groups, and someone will say, well, I'm the designated driver, which is great because you didn't see that a long time ago. But what I find interesting is what the reasons why people are being the designated driver, not so much anymore, is that, well, I don't drink. That is one of the reasons on here. I think it was 33% of the people say that, or I'm sorry, 20% don't drink alcohol. So that was that.
Absolutely.
That used to be it.
I think that's just a changing in culture in general. I think people are getting a little more health conscious. They're a little more aware of what they're putting in their body, and they're paying attention. I mean, there's a heightened awareness, and folks are saying, why am I going to, roll the dice and take the chance of something, catastrophic happening? And what we really want to preface is heightened awareness. I mean, we want folks to make good decisions year-round, but with the holidays rapidly approaching, Thanksgiving through New Year's is the most dangerous time of year to be on the roadway. And we just want folks to know, we understand you have holiday plans and parties. We want you to have a good time, but just have a plan. And, have a responsible designated driver selected. Take a cab or a ride share, public transportation. Host a party and have your guests spend the night. But have your plan in advance. Three drinks into your occasion is not the time to start strategizing how you're going to get home, because your judgment's altered.
Absolutely. You should plan that before you go. It's the smart thing to do. You know what? You want to have a couple of cocktails? Fine. But have somebody else drive. Have an Uber. Have a cab. In this day and age where there is, transportation is so accessible, be smart. And I want to talk to Kelly. Kelly's with you, right, Sam?
Correct. Kelly is with me.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. This is Kelly Collins. And Kelly, I want you to tell us your story. I don't want to paraphrase any of this. Tell us your story and why now, unfortunately, you were so involved with Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Well, our precious son, Michael, at the age of 22, lost his life to a drunk driver back in at the end of March. He was set to graduate from Illinois State University. And on the evening of March 28th, he attended a semi-formal with a group of people. And on the wee hours of March 29th, a drunk driver traveling over 130 miles per hour, which it was a 30-mile-an-hour zone, so she was going 100 miles an hour over the speed limit, ran a red light. And within a split second now, our lives have been forever changed. And she murdered our son, and she had blood alcohol of twice the legal limit, and along with other things that played into it. And so, it's just a drinking and driving, and then that night in particular, it was just a careless, senseless lack of intelligence and judgment. And now we've, my son, who was set to graduate with a bachelor's degree and was a scholar athlete, is now, you know, like as I said earlier to someone, future generations will never exist because of what was taken away from us. I will never have grandchildren. He will never have a wife. And I don't think people realize the magnitude of climbing behind a 3,000 to 4,000 pound weapon, which is what a vehicle is. And I just think it can't even be done with one drink.
It's unacceptable. Yeah. First of all, my thoughts, all of our thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to you.
Thank you.
It's unacceptable, Kelly. And again, as I said, in this day and age, it's just there's other means of transportation out there. Have a few drinks. That's fine. But let somebody else drive. Don't get behind the wheel. And I think that's the most powerful and impactful part of your message.
Absolutely. You know, we somebody asked, the greatest things that have come from this is the Michael's Foundation, and it's mcstrong.org. And we have started a foundation in order to tell his story, to raise awareness, to honor God, and just to keep Michael's spirit alive. And that's what we intend to do. And someone started a Pay It Forward page for Michael Collins as well on Facebook. And at one point, it had 20,000 likes. And what it is just a wildfire of good acts that has spread across now not only all of the United States, but a bunch of countries as well. And his story is going to continue to be told. We will not let this sacrifice end here, but we will team with MAD and other organizations because Michael was an organ donor as well. So we're well aware that he continues to live on in a lot of people's lives.
Well, we are all behind you, Kelly. You know, and again, our thoughts going out to you. It's amazing to you and a real tribute to your son and to everybody out there listening that you've turned such a tragedy into something, I don't want to say positive because it's so horrible that you won't see your son again, but making others aware is such a wonderful step in the right direction.
That's exactly right. And this is the way we want to honor him. And the type of person that he was, and so these acts of kindness, you know, that's really what we should be doing as a in a culture anyway. And you know, if I can only just say that I know that it's so important that people have a plan, but you know, as to how to get home, my thought is if we could even change the mindset of getting the culture to think, don't even drive to the party. Don't even drive to the bar. You know, get the transportation mode set before you even take off, not once you get there and then figure out how you're going to get home. And though you're right, with transportation, it is so much easier. But, you know, like Sam said, mm-hmm. You know, once you start to have a couple drinks, then everything's altered. Just make the intentional before you ever step out the door that night.
You know, it's a great point because think of it. You plan what you're going to bring to the party. You plan what you're going to wear. You plan how long you're going to stay sometimes. You know, well, I'm only going to stay an hour. Mm-hmm. Plan the transportation.
Yeah, it's not hard. Absolutely. Good
and the numbers fluctuate year to year, but approximately 10,000 people die a year as a result of drinking and driving. And it's 100% preventable. I mean, and it's not an accident. Some folks call it an accident. It's a serious crime. And the mindset and the mentality with respect to that really needs to be changed.
Absolutely. I want to thank you both for being with us. And Kelly, it's mcstrong.org if you want to go to the tribute page from Michael, right?
That's correct. M as in Michael, C as in Collins, mcstrong.org. And it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, Kelly. And Sam, give out the Mothers Against Drunk Driving website and information. Again, if somebody is hearing this and they want to get involved and try and help out too.
We're promoting our Red Ribbon campaign. It's in conjunction with Nationwide Insurance. We're passing out red ribbons free of charge to all your listeners. Anybody who's a motorist who believes in this cause, they can call us at 630-541-6099, 217-523-6233,
or med.org in Select Illinois, and there's information that can follow that they can follow. But thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much. Again, that's Sam Canzanieri from Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Kelly Collins talking about the website for her son, mcstrong.org. We'll link to both of those on our website and our Facebook and Twitter pages, too, so you can get involved and help out. Mary, what's going on with the roads?
It just seems like, I just wanted to add, that young people are so much better at pre-planning out than we are. I mean, when we were young, we did not pre-plan. We just went out, and that's, you know, how a lot of these accidents happen. But kids now, I mean, my son and his friends, they decide before they go out whether they're taking a cab or who's driving back or how they're getting back. They decide. And we are guilty. It's the middle-aged people, I think, that are guilty.
I agree.
Of not pre-planning.
Again, nobody is saying don't go out. If you want to have a beer or a glass of wine, that's fine. Plan ahead. Do not drink and drive. It's such a basic common sense message, and a lot of people unfortunately don't follow it, and Kelly Collins learned that the hard way. So
and her organization is working obviously with
25,000
people
likes
that are doing so much better at pre-planning.
Check
so,
it out at mcstrong.org. It's 557 720 WGN. Steve Cochran. Hey Bay, how you doing?
Good, fine. I know we're out of time here, but I did want to announce the Tribune in-building surfing competition, which we're going to start today. We're going to break a water pipe on 9 and see if anybody can surf all the way to the lobby. So it's kind of exciting.
It is exciting. And Dave Ennett said he was very sorry that he missed all the excitement yesterday.
Yeah, why'd you guys plan this on a day when I was away?
I think plan probably is not the word I'd use in this case, Dave. The security were running around like security people with their heads cut off. But, man, a really good job. And you know Bill Murdoch. And I've made fun of Bill a few times. I don't know if you know that about me. But Bill actually risked his life yesterday. He was standing in a pool of water and told him to turn the power back on. And, kids, if you learn one thing from this show, water and electricity are not good friends.
No.
Plus, does Murdoch live in the building? I mean, I want to give Bill all the credit in the world because, normally we request Scotch tape. It'd take a month to get it. We told him what was going on. He was in the building in a minute and a half like Superman.
I don't even know how that happened.
He's an Uber driver.
With his waders on, and he had his little lumberjack sweater on, too. So it's
You're getting it done, man.
It's like you dress for it. You know, you wear a nice dress for a formal occasion. He had his waders and his lumberjack sweater and flannel on, like he was waiting for this, you know, waiting for this day.
He's really, really well done. Well done job by Mr. Murdoch, the whole engineering staff, and Ben, and everybody else. So, except for Aubrey. Aubrey doesn't even know what happened. but thanks to all of them, because they really, really stepped up. And the other thing that we didn't know, Dave, the water was running really hard into the lobby yesterday when the flood happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out somebody on the fifth floor actually caught a big tuna.
Really? So apparently there's some fishing that was going on. We had it for lunch.
You missed it.
An Asian carp was floating in the hall.
Oh, yeah, man.
He just came by. He had some. Yeah, fresh, so.
Fresh seafood.
Oh, there we go.
At the restaurant.
All right, we're late here. Big show coming out. Stand by. I'll see you in a couple of minutes on the Steve Cochran Show. Continued. Here's Andrea.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Bay. I'm saying Bay because that is one of the Oxford 2014 Words of the Year. Again, that was used as a term of endearment of one's romantic partner. Other Words of the Year, bud tender, a person whose job is to serve customers in a cannabis dispensary or shop. And let me give you one more. I like this one, normcore. You guys know what normcore is? Kevin, I know you know all these.
What is that, like normal correlation?
It's a trend which ordinary, unfashionable clothing is worn as a deliberate fashion statement.
What?
So if you put a scarf, you know, you normally would wear a scarf around your neck, you'd put it around your head, or you wear like a sticker, you know, something that you normally wouldn't wear as clothing, but you wear it to make a fashion statement. I'll show you a picture. We'll give you some normcore.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show.
Love your show. Love you guys.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
6:13 in the morning, and Dave just mentioned it, but later you can meet the newest Blackhawk. He's still the newest Blackhawk. Well, not technically the newest Blackhawk, but Brad Richards, the newest big name Blackhawk, wouldn't he be?
He would be the newest veteran Black Hawk because they've had some of the younger guys up and down a little bit from Rockford. But, yeah, I think it's safe to say he's the newest Black Hawk.
And I think he's off to a decent start.
And getting better.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be later in the program. Also, Maria Menounos. Maria Menounos will be on.
Are you going to do that when she comes on?
She knows. She laughs like a freak. Didn't we talk about it at one point?
You did. I don't think she said. I don't think she said freak.
There was a list of the most annoying celebrity laughs, and she didn't make it.
What?
No, she didn't. It was like Beavis and Butthead, and you know, it wasn't her.
Hold on, let's hear your Beavis and Butthead laugh. Well, pretty good.
I used to like that show. It was college.
Pretty good. Well, that was quite educational. But no, Maria Menounos and Anderson Cooper clearly are the leaders in the clubhouse. So she'll be on later. Thank you, Anderson. She is closer than ever. Maria Menounos is. She needs a sandwich. I mean, we need to shove a chicken parmesan sandwich in front of her and maybe a chocolate souffle.
What Greek mother would allow her to get that skinny? You know.
Am I right? She's skinnier than ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she works out a lot, and I'm sure she eats very well, probably doing it the healthy way, but yes,
she's eating like
really
a cashew
skinny.
Once a day. You know, she cuts a cashew into thirds and spreads it out throughout the day.
See, I wish I could do that. I eat dinner, and then I think, okay, what's next?
But what? You don't wish you could be that skinny.
I would like to be skinnier.
You look
I wouldn't
fabulous.
Mind being that skinny,
You don't
skinny,
need
though.
To be skinny. You look fabulous.
That's nice of you to say.
I think there are skinny Hollywood standards not, to skinny.
Yes, and if you meet these people in person, they look like ectomorphs. They look like from the planet ectomorph.
That's a great
They don't look great healthy.
Oh, that's good.
They look frail sometimes.
Yeah, extremely
so. Tiny, and their heads look bigger than their bodies.
She's probably a lot stronger than you guys think.
Yeah, probably.
Just in her defense.
What do you mean stronger?
She's probably works
physically
out.
Stronger.
I
could take her.
She could probably take you down.
Please,
oh, Maria Menounos. No way.
She's 5'2".
Is she that little?
She's pretty little.
Oh, I didn't know.
5'4".
And 80 pounds. So, and hasn't eaten in a week. You could totally take her.
Yeah. So I'm just worried about her. That's all. Mike Rowe will be on the Dirty Jobs guy that every woman seems to love. Is that an agreement, Mary? You love Mike Rowe?
Mm-hmm.
You like him what? Because he can fix stuff.
Yeah. Anybody who can fix stuff.
Okay.
Tops my list.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. I've met him a couple of times. He spoke to the FFA convention a couple of years ago, and he was a major hit with the young people.
Did he ever take his hat off?
No.
Is he bald? What's the deal with that?
No, he's not bald. He's got little fuzzy hair.
But ladies love him. Love him. You guys love him?
He's cute, yeah.
Well, but what is it? Tough guy?
He's okay. Nice looking.
He would have fixed a flood yesterday, I'll tell you that right
now. Yeah, we could have used him here yesterday.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah, women think that's sexy. He's got that little smirky smile, you know.
Yeah.
He's kind of cute.
All right, so cute Mike Rowe will be on, and Brad Richards, as I mentioned, and Dean later. Karen Conti in a few minutes with legal questions, and right after this traffic, we have green bean casserole news.
Green bean?
Yeah, I feel the same way you do.
Okay.
First traffic trouble spots, if there are. By the way, Mary. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the flood here in the building for obvious reasons because it made national news. But having said that, I don't know that I've ever seen Armageddon on the roadways like there was yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Flaming bus on Lakeshore Drive and then a nice souffle top off last night on the Stevenson with a leaking chemical truck blocking the Stevenson.
Yes, yesterday was just terrible, and I don't understand it. There was no snow. You know, it was just really cold weather.
Very weird.
It was a very weird day, and then when we were knocked off the air, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have, like, three roads that are closed right now.
And I don't want people to think, well, you know, I'm some conspiracy theorist guy or some believer that something's going on, but something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on.
Something weird going on.
Yeah, something going on.
I agree.
Well, I don't think this is Patty. I think it's my idiot friend, Pete McMurray. You know, we had a nice run going here where we'd have pens in the drawer where we all sit.
Yeah.
And now there's like two pens left.
I know, and a highlighter that doesn't work.
Orion reported on Staples numbers being soft. It's no surprise. Why would anyone have to buy pens? Just come here and steal them. Because they're taken out of the studio thousands at a time.
Do you need one?
No, I have the green one I normally use.
Always bring your own.
I started bringing
your little
my
pencil
own.
Case. You should have one. You want me to get you one?
Pencil Make Mary case. Think it's 1982.
Where am I going to carry a pencil case?
I don't know. You can put it on your in your little man purse.
What'd you say? Oh,
in your bib overall.
In my overalls.
You know what's odd, too, is that sometimes
Wait, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my pencil case.
Sometimes you come in and the caps on the pens are missing.
Well, that's just sloppy.
Don't even think of leaving a headphone adapter in the studio.
So.
Oh, yeah. I hide adapters. I have
got
a whole,
to.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of this went away in the flood of 14. That was yesterday.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah,
now?
The flood of 14. Yesterday when all hell broke loose. All right, a couple of things to mention. The Ask Steve Anything, we're getting closer to throwing some of these on video. So if you got a question for me, you should simply ask me a question. Anything. Anything at all. Anything about anything in life. Doesn't even have to be about me. Could be about you. Anything you want to know. You have a question?
What's
you
your
seem like you have a question.
I do. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay.
I like blue. I like kind of a, not necessarily a dark blue. See, I'm a little colorblind.
Okay.
Like the blue in the Allstate Showcase studio here. That blue. I like that blue.
That's like a royal blue.
I like a royal blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a royal blue. Like a Dave, you have a question?
What do you have against red?
Well, I don't really have anything against red. I have something against the Cincinnati Reds. I'm not a fan of the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. But, no, I like red. Matter of fact, I'm wearing red today. Got a red shirt on.
Okay.
Isn't this red?
It's maroon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn it, I thought it was red. Maroon is red, kind of.
Yeah, it's a dark.
It's in the red,
red
family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Like a Cabernet
okay.
color.
I'm wearing
like
Cabernet.
Wine.
Dave, it's not really Cabernet.
I understand.
Okay? It's a shirt.
Thanks for the clarification.
Maureen, you have a question.
Yeah, do you still believe in Santa Claus?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
No doubt about that.
Okay.
I think I've told the story on the air before, but I had an agent, one of my favorite guys ever, a guy named Ron Simon, when I was in Minneapolis, big sports agent mostly, but it was nice enough to take me on as a charitable endeavor. He had two grown kids and a fabulous wife who made those two grown kids make out a list to Santa every year.
Really?
I mean, they were well into their 20s. They had to make out a list to Santa or they got nothing. And I love that.
I have my kids make a list.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's the magic of Christmas.
It is.
Goes away when you stop believing in Santa Claus. So why would you stop believing in Santa Claus?
Always believe.
Please. Santa Claus will be on this show.
I know. I can't wait.
Friday. Now, it may happen as soon as tomorrow. But Friday, I believe, will be the first appearance of the Thanksgiving turkey on this program as well.
Oh. Does the turkey know
turkey.
What's going to happen?
Well, it's
get a presidential pardon. They always do.
And this isn't the same one.
No.
I'm told this is the turkey union rep. He's looking for better benefits for the turkeys. So we're talking to him either tomorrow or Friday.
It's a tough time to get that process started, you know?
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
have a lot of time.
And not a lot of negotiations. I mean, you know, what are you going to bargain with at this point? All right, oh, I mentioned green bean casserole. You and I are not a fan of most things green.
Correct. My favorite vegetable is pork and beans.
Yes.
Yes.
And my favorite vegetable is sausage, which is on a farm near where they grow the vegetables. 30 million green bean casseroles will appear on Thanksgiving tables next week. 30 million. And they have ranked the states according to which of the top 20 states love green bean casserole. Here's the list. New York, 60% of New Yorkers, 60% of Michiganders all love green bean casserole. 62% of those in Massachusetts. Ohio's in at 63, Maryland 64, Texas 65, Kansas and Utah 66, Oklahoma 67, Mississippi 68. 69% of Californians love green bean casserole.
Do they really?
I didn't think California would allow legally people to eat casserole.
Yeah, you would think it would be the raw vegetable.
Yeah, 71 in Colorado. Oh, you can imagine they're eating everything with all the weed they're doing. They're hungry nonstop. 72% of Floridians, 73 in New Hampshire, 74 in Maine, 75 in Iowa, 76 in Missouri, 77 in Wisconsin. Do you have any idea the number one green bean casserole appreciating state in America? Dave Ennett, you should know this. You love the green stuff.
Yeah, I do, but
I am going to say, if you don't get this right, we are going to take away your kale for the weekend upcoming.
Number one.
You will have to go the entire weekend kale-free.
California?
Did you say Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Kentucky is the right answer.
Good job.
Kentucky, 78%. 78% of, no, Minnesota, not even.
I was thinking Iowa.
I was thinking Texas.
78% of Kentuckians love it. And by the way, good guess on California, which I had mentioned 30 seconds ago, was number 9. Thanks for listening.
I thought I knew I'd heard it somewhere.
Yeah.
What was Illinois? Did you say Illinois?
I did not. Well, Illinois was number 18 in the country.
Wow.
That's probably because of you and me.
61%.
I can handle the casserole. It's the greasy green beans.
Greasy?
And tomorrow night, I'm speaking at a banquet in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I'm willing to bet my house that there'll be green beans, soggy and greasy.
What kind of green beans do you eat, Orion?
Well, he doesn't eat them. He just looks at
pork and beans.
Oh, that's not real.
Yeah. What, yeah. Not real?
What do you mean? Pork and beans?
Pork and beans, it exists.
Those aren't, you know, you got to eat green beans.
No, you don't
have
to.
You got to eat broccoli.
You get pork and you get beans and pork and beans from a green bean plant, dear.
Yeah, and by the way, Mayor...
whatever. The green beans are the best, but peas are the worst. Blah.
I take President Bush, the first President Bush's stance on this when he said, my mother made me eat broccoli. I'm the President of the United States. I don't have to eat broccoli anymore. I'm not going to eat broccoli. I'm the same way with the majority of green things. Not everything, but most of them.
Whoever looked at a Brussels sprout and said, we should eat that.
No, it's ridiculous.
Should hang
I'm
by the thumbs.
I'm not a fan, unless you put bacon or something.
Well, Ross was telling me yesterday he's got some Wang Dang Doodle recipe for Brussels sprouts. And I said, who are you and where is my son?
It's a hot food now. I mean, it's very fashionable.
Are you going to switch? Are you, Mr. Kale? Kale
no,
or
no.
Brussels
no,
sprouts?
No, I'm not a Brussels sprouts fan.
Okay.
Ross, you should make it and bring it to Thanksgiving dinner.
Ross, what is a fancy Brussels sprouts recipe?
Well, my contribution is usually just eating it.
Oh, I see. But
I would have to consult my wife.
All right, and then you'll bring it into the show?
Not the show, Thanksgiving dinner.
We bring it into the show?
Yeah, I'll bring it in.
Yeah, bring it in. Yeah,
oh, that'll be a nice treat. We'll have green beans for breakfast.
Yes, green beans.
No, these are Brussels sprouts.
Stand by for Ross's regular recipe corner. Ross's recipe corner in a show soon, coming soon. All right, 6:29, big story still to come, and Karen Conti. If you want to get me a question that you think I should ask about anything, including you, or answer, I should say, about anything, including you, just send it in by social media, send it in by email, send it in by the fax, send it in on your beeper, drop it off here at the tower before we're flooded out again. However you'd like to get it to us, it's all available to you at WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app. Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, or Steve Cochran Show Steve Cochran Show at WGNRadio.com. What are you laughing about? You weren't even paying attention.
I wasn't laughing. I was paying attention.
Okay. Coming up on 6:30 on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
The great Karen Conti.
You want answers?
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
She's on TV. She's on the radio.
Oh, guilty, but with a real good excuse.
Oh, yeah, and she's a lawyer.
You can't handle the truth.
Call the first witness.
6:42. We always try to get some answers that could serve the public. But this week, Karen, we have really legal stories that probably will only affect a few, but they're very interesting stories, so I thought I'd hit you with a couple of these.
Sure.
Let's say something light, for instance, like freedom of religion. A Sikh student at Hofstra University files a lawsuit yesterday, actually being filed today, against the United States Army, claims the service refused to grant him a religious accommodation that would allow him to enlist in the ROTC program without shaving his beard, cutting his hair, removing his turban. What stance does the Army and the service branches have by way of this? Because it even went to the trial of the Fort Hood killer.
Yeah, that's right. And you see this all the time, and usually the government and the Army wins. They have rules that have to do with, they want cohesion, they want standards of health, safety, and discipline. Those are the words that they use, and that cutting your hair, having certain haircuts has been what the Army has done for many, many years, going way, way back. So the idea that he wants to exercise his religion is free, is fine, and he'll be allowed to do that. But he does have to comport with all the other rules that the Army has, regardless of his religion. And that's what makes these cases interesting. It's where you collide with your versus the Army's obligation to do what they do. And I think he's going to lose on this one.
I would say that's absolutely true. There's a uniformity of code and a standard of operations in a discipline that's necessary in all the service branches. And the idea that, well, if we let one do this, regardless of how we feel about it, then how can we say no to the next one? And then suddenly you don't have that code and that standard.
That's right. And I, like I said, this has been litigated before, and the Army almost always wins.
Karen Conti, sponsored by Chicago Title Land Trust Company. We appreciate that. Item number two for me, there's a professor at the University of Illinois who got a job offer. And the job offer to teach there was rescinded after there was a lawsuit over some Twitter messages. Stephen Salaita, I believe is the pronunciation of the name, filed the lawsuit on Monday. He accepted an offer to teach last year, but the offer was taken away. Critics objected to messages he sent during the Israeli war with Gaza back in July. Monday's suit says the school refused his request to release documents that could shed some light on the decision to withdraw the job offer. Salaita's lawyer said on Monday that the suit isn't linked to further legal issues that will allege, or is linked. They'll say that Salaita's rights were violated by withdrawing the job offer. All right, so here's the deal. I apply for a job, and you say, yep, you're the person, we're going to hire you. Before I actually start that job or take that job, you learn certain things about me that are troubling or troubling to the institution that I'm about to be an employee of. What are my rights as the new employee? What are my rights as the company?
Well, it depends if you're a public institution or not. If you are hired by a private company, the employer can almost always fire you, even if there's a contract in place. Usually there's not. Usually you're an employee at will. But, you know, Macy's could say, you know what, we don't want to be associated with someone who is saying foul things, things we don't believe in, or even things that offend us from any standpoint. But when you're a governmental entity like the U of I is, it's public, so it's really deemed to be the government for purposes of making decisions. We have the First Amendment that kicks in, and that First Amendment says we can't discriminate against people for what they say. Now, there's all kinds of things that are going to come into play here, because what this guy said, whether you agree with his position anti-Israel or not, is he was very profane. He was rude. He talked about it's good that we kill certain people. Yeah. I really paraphrase what he said. And it's not nice stuff. You know, it's definitely opinionated, but it also kind of crosses the line. And I think U of I is, you know, there's certainly the right to say we don't want to hire someone who's rude, who's profane, who's saying things and misstating things. And I think that's what their defense is going to be. We're not firing you or not hiring you because of your religious beliefs. We're not firing you because you don't support what we believe, what we are as an institution.
So, yeah, and you're not going to fit into the community that we have at large, and your inflammatory statements is not something that we would like exposed to the people who pay to go to school here.
Exactly. And he didn't start working. The contract was not a done deal. Failure to hire is a little bit different than firing. Because once someone is hired, there's just a little bit more, the law supports you a little bit more in what you do. But again, before the hiring, they certainly can take a look at what he said on the internet, on Facebook, and make a decision that we are changing our mind on whether we're going to hire this guy. But, you know, again, this case is not cut and dry. I think it's an important case to look at because we all value our First Amendment. We value the fact that we can go on and say things we want to say. But in certain contexts, when it comes to employment, employers have a lot of power in not hiring or firing. So we have to be careful.
And I want to do a quick traffic update with Mary here. But before we do that, or I should say right after we do that, of course, we have really the biggest story of the day, and that's whether or not Karen Conti is going to get invited to the Charles Manson wedding. Stand by for that. But first, it's Mary with the Trouble Spots. It's, you know, nothing like romance. Normally we have to wait, but there's nothing like romance as we continue with Karen Conti, sponsored by Chicago Title Land Trust Company. Karen, you're engaged. Charles Manson is engaged. He's getting married. You guys going to do a double wedding?
I just want to know where he's registered.
Somebody said yesterday, Bloodbath and Beyond.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
I can't top that. That's a good one. Yeah, he's such a you know, an eligible bachelor, I guess. I guess he just can't be resisted. But yeah, it's a young woman. You see this all the time, though. I know that everyone has seen this in the movies about it. There's always some person who wants to be married to the bad guy. And, you know,
but this is a little worse than the bad guy. This is a little worse than you and Mary and Anna and Andrea going, I kind of like the mysterious bad guy.
The bad
guy. Because Charles friggin' Manson.
I like the swastika on his forehead. I
it
think
is
that,
sexy.
That block to yeah. any a tuxedo, it would be a nice compliment.
You just want to go to Chuck. What were you thinking there? And then you just go, what am I wasting my time asking a question like that for?
Yeah, it could be money. You know, I always, someone, there's a phrase that says, like, if you don't know what the answer is, the question is money or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, so she could be thinking that when he dies, because he's 80 years old, that she's going to cash in on his use of likeness or a book or something like that. So, you know, that could be what she's up, you know. And
I don't get that there's that much scheming going on. This seems to be one of these odd, very small groups of the population of women who are attracted to inmates. I don't get it.
Yep, it's out there. No conjugal visits, though, just in case you think there might be some offspring from this wonderful union.
Let me tell you, if Chuck's boys are still swimming, we got other problems. but it is sweet. The holidays, they're all about love. You know, Charles, hold on a second, I got to send him a message. Charles? Charles, it's Steve. Please just die already. Unbelievable. Karen, how do people get a hold of you?
Call me at the office anytime, 312-332-7800, or you can email me. That's even better, kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
Hold the line if you would, and we'll come back in the third hour of the program. It's some very exciting news. Kevin's food reviews are back.
Oh, yes.
Yes, nice. Kevin's food reviews are back. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a contest. We were giving away opportunities to go to the Chicago Magazine Taste of Chicago thing that they had.
Yeah, did Kevin go to that?
He did.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
But that's not who he's reviewing. Remember we had all the restaurant suggestions come in?
That's sure. Right.
Would you go to like Frank's Weenie House or something yesterday?
Frank's for the memories, Steve.
Frank's for the memories.
A magical place.
Oh, no.
Frank's for the memories. A review coming up, 720 WGN.